Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. A blessed Easter and the peace of our Lord be with you. Let us commit this time to the Lord and let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for such a wonderful morning. Because of who you are, the risen Lord, we are able to be here to worship you, to walk from darkness to light and receive a new life in Christ. May your Holy Spirit be with us today as we worship you. May your word teaches us and shapes our life. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The empty tomb narrative, especially from the Gospel of John, is often read by all churches all over the world in almost every Easter or Resurrection Sunday service. We read that text ever so faithfully, year after year, because nothing can better bear witness for the risen Lord other than proclaiming the reality of Christ's resurrection on Easter, and pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we, as God's children, may live a new life in Christ worthy of his resurrection, so that the world may say it doesn't make any sense if Jesus is not resurrected. For those of us who are familiar with the gospel account, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, we know that each writer in his unique relationship with God, Jesus, has approached his resurrection slightly differently. For example, John, among all gospel writers, focuses subtly on love, especially the love between Jesus and his disciples. You would be interested to know, out of the four empty tomb narratives, the word love occurs only one time, and that is in John chapter 20, verse 2. It says, "So she," and that is Mary Magdalene, "came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.'" After hearing Mary's cry, the intense reaction of Peter and the one Jesus loved show us clearly the deep love they have for Jesus, because they quickly started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Verse 3 to 4. A simple description. However, it is not as simple as we thought if we probe further and if we ask why the one Jesus loved could outrun Peter, or why Peter failed to reach the tomb first. Could it be because of physical strength? Possible. But we should not forget that Peter is a fisherman and he is physically very strong. At least he is not weaker than the one Jesus loved. If physical is not the main reason, then could it be emotion? We mentioned love. Could the love they have for Jesus, the reason why one is running faster than the other? Can we say the one Jesus loved outrun Peter because his love for Jesus is greater? According to church tradition, we know he is John, the gospel writer. And John certainly loves Jesus a great deal. it may not be easy to objectively tell between John and Peter who actually loves Jesus more. But one thing we know, Peter surely struggles a lot more than John when it comes to his relationship with Jesus. And John knows Peter's struggle very well. Therefore, in the next chapter, it is not accidental for John, in the next chapter, chapter 21, to underline Peter's struggle, especially in answering the questions of love put forth by Jesus. Before we go into chapter 21 and talk more about Peter's struggle, it is good for us at this point to ask a simple but important question, and that is, what is love? What is love? For those of us who are familiar with the Greek words for love, such as phileo or agape, we will find them helpful now. We know phileo is about limited, imperfect love, and agape, certainly the one we are most familiar with, refers to the sacrificial, unconditional love, especially the divine, perfect love. These Greek words are certainly helpful, but are they enough? Enough to tell us about love? Paul, a very learned man, surely knows what is phileo or agape. However, when it comes to articulating what love is, Paul, instead of using the Greek words phileo or agape, gives us a very long description that will take us a while to finish reading it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8, he says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Paul's language here is illustrative. In other words, Paul is not keen on coming out with a good definition of love, because to Paul, love is action. It is something we do more than something we know. Among the disciples of Jesus, Peter is certainly one who claims he knows better than the rest about love. According to the gospel, Peter has made bold statement that even all other disciples fall away, he will not abandon Jesus, because his love for Jesus is steadfast. Matthew chapter 26. In John 21, when the risen Lord asks Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? Peter replies by saying, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Does Peter really know what he is talking about here? Not to forget that for only a little while, Peter has denied Jesus three times before the crow of the rooster. And that makes Jesus' question provoking, especially the Greek word love used by Jesus is agape. Jesus is in fact saying, Peter, Do you truly love me unconditionally, given the fact that you have denied me three times? Peter certainly knows what the risen Lord is implying here. After the shameful threefold denial, Peter could only say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." The Greek word love Peter used is phileo, the limited imperfect love, and not agape used by Jesus. This insightful conversation between Jesus and Peter is important for us. If we wish to understand for ourselves our ability to love and our love for Jesus, we cannot take love for granted simply because we think we love or we feel we love. But without going deeper to ask, what does love entail? So the question, and to answer the question of love asked by the risen Lord, proved a lot more difficult and challenging for Peter and also for us. It is certainly easy to talk about love when everything in life is fine and well. However, for someone who is struggling, either because of crisis or severe illness, and when your livelihood is terribly affected, can you, in the state of suffering, still able and willing to talk about love and love unconditionally? It is not easy, surely, and I can promise you that it will never be easy. But that is what love actually is and what love is demanding of us. Remember, we say a while ago that to Paul, love is not about having some good knowledge or some feel-good romantic experience, but actually and actively working on our relationship with God and with one another. The question is, when life becomes difficult, are we able to hang in there and still love God and love one another, even to the point of walking the extra mile? Walking the extra mile for someone, and to be patient and kind, not to be arrogant or rude, not to insist on my own way, do not behave badly and be irritable or resentful, and continue in love to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. If you ask me, why must I do all this? And why must I make the painful sacrifice for someone who might not be having any liking? And my answer to you simply is, because love never ends. We may not be like Peter, denying Jesus three times, but could we say we have never had the problem of Peter, and that is a serious lack of love in time of difficulty? We are thankful that COVID is finally over and normalcy of life is now fully restored. However, we should not forget the many challenges brought upon us by the crisis. Among them, one in particular deserved our constant attention, and that is the issue of family violence. The Straits Times reported during the COVID that the number of family violence cases rose by 13%, from about 1,310 cases in 2019 to 1,480 in 2020. Channel News Asia later reported that the number of police reports filed for similar offences over the first 6 months of 2021 was 2,638. CNA continued, and I quote, "From 2020 to 2022, there was an increase in police reports related to offences commonly associated with family violence, such as hurt, criminal force, assault, and criminal intimidation," end quote. We can glean two main points from the reports. First, family violence is on the rise during the pandemic. And second, difficult circumstances contribute to the offending behavior. It is true that now we are out of the woods, and we should give thanks for that. And COVID is no longer a threat. But could we then say family violence will automatically be eradicated simply because the pandemic is over? As much as we hope that Christians are so full of love and family violence will never happen to us, sad to say, the truth is not the case. It may not be wrong for us to assume that in Christian family violence are few and far between. However, can we then say we do not have relationship problems within Christian family, even though it is not so severe as becoming a family violence case? Can we say, therefore, we are good and there's no issue within the family, either between husband and wife or between parents and children? How about the church, the family of God? Are we getting along so well that there are no issues at all among us? Like Peter, we can verbally articulate love, but stop short at making the real sacrifice. No doubt we have good knowledge about love. We could even recite Bible verses. But do we have the determination and discipline to walk the talk? Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, speaks about spiritual babies. We need to ask honestly how many of us are still of the flesh and cannot take solid food. When we are of the flesh, we will react in the flesh. What COVID has done to us is bringing to light something we either ignore or sweep under the carpet for too long. Indeed, we may not be in a good state we think we are. And the pressing question now is, how can we move from here? Let us go to John chapter 21. When the risen Lord said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because Jesus has asked the same question three times. It is not wrong for us to interpret three times as a chance given to Peter to right the wrong of denying Jesus three times. It is also not wrong for us to understand it as a triple reminder of the importance of love. Jesus is aware that we are fragile and weak and are far from the perfect love we ought to have. In spite of that, Jesus still believes in us and has faith in us. It is interesting to note that in the first two questions, the Greek word love Jesus used is agape. However, in the third question, Jesus changed it to phileo. By asking Peter the third time, "Do you love me with filial love?" Jesus is not compromising his expectation. Neither is he downgrading his standard from the perfect agape love to the imperfect filial love. By changing it from agape to filial, Jesus, in fact, is showing us that he's willing to accept our weaknesses and limitations and our inability to love him so perfectly at this time. The change from agape to phileo, from perfection to imperfection, is a way for Jesus to encourage us to begin at where we are, however imperfect that is, so that we may slowly learn and grow from imperfection to perfection. Jesus accommodates the fact that we will fail in our love for God and for one another. And our relationship will become tense and problematic during stressful and difficult time. So when Jesus asks, "Do you love me with the limited human love you have?" Jesus is in fact ministering to Peter and to us. We say a while ago that Peter was outrun by John and slow to reach the empty tomb, not because of his physical strength, but his struggle of love with Jesus. At times, we are like Peter, slow in reaching out to Jesus because of our struggles with God, our struggles with ourselves, and our struggles with one another. But Jesus knows our struggles. To Jesus, if we say we love God, even loving God with that limited love, that is good enough for Jesus. Good enough, at least for now. Because with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will grow and learn. And one day, we can be a spiritual giant like Peter. Indeed, everyone here, no matter who you are, we all have the potential to be a spiritual giant like Peter. Because to be a spiritual giant is not about how much we know, but how much are we willing to make the sacrifice. Therefore, let us begin at where we are, however limited, but refuse to be limited by our limitation. Let us begin to work on our differences and start to make our home, our church, and our working place a better place because God is there for us. Where God is, there is love. And that is the power of Jesus' resurrection. So may God help us to love God and to love one another as commanded by the risen Lord. So that the world may say, it does not make any sense if Jesus is not resurrected. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.